And with all this excitement about fitness videos and DVDs and the Tula Preborn London International Boat Show and Michelle Monro obviously finding a soulmate with Andrew David there, it's wonderful. Mm. You know,
don't tell Debbie.
Please. I'd forgotten all about Mike Dooley, our regular Florida correspondent, and the fact he'd also suggested we should promote the Happy Bubble. Yes, the happy bubble. Exactly. End poverty together. And for folk who are actually in London, and we'll certainly mention this to Sarah Chase in a few moments, get yourself down to the Happy Place in central London, Finsbury Avenue Square, Broadgate. It's just by the Liverpool Street tube station. And help end world poverty and have smoothies and porridge and cupcakes and fresh grass and soothing sounds and comfort food and free massages. I tell you, it's just like having a Sheila Jones telephone conversation.
Wow, that's gorgeous.
Sheila, indeed, the founder of Spiritus Marketing, and indeed very important year last year because Spiritus Marketing Awareness Month took place in October, and lots of the good stuff is still available online from our sister site, etc. Welcome to the Midweek Drive, and I gather that you've proved that using your computer, even in the wilds of Ghoul, you can still actually tune in and access the Midweek Drive.
That is true. I was listening to that wonderful, wonderful Matt Monro song. That was gorgeous.
Yeah, very good. In fact, yeah, Michelle Monro should do a Wheel of Life in the near future.
That would be interesting,
yes. Go with that. Joy, would you like to talk to Sheila about life, the universe, New Year's resolutions? All of those kind of things.
Any of them. Have you set yourself a New Year's resolution then, Sheila? Or is it something you're not keen on?
Well, I've been talking to quite a lot of people because you can't be in this area without being positively bombarded with everybody talking about how to set your goals for 2011 and, you know, change your life and all the rest of it. And, you know, the simple fact is that most of us don't want to.
Mm. If you really did, you would have done it, wouldn't you?
Exactly. We want the results, but we don't want to actually do it. And the other thing is that it can be quite salutary sometimes to look back at anything that you might have written down on New Year's Eve, or maybe the last 3 or 4 years, and see a sort of certain similarity of, you know, whatever it is that keeps on repeating in your life. But we basically get very settled, and there can be a very deep resistance to changing, mainly because I think we don't quite know what the change will be like and what it will mean for us. So maybe there's something to be done there in thinking in terms of what we actually want rather than what we don't want.
Mm.
So one of the things that I've been playing with is to, instead of writing down the things like, you know, I want to stop smoking, maybe sit and think a little bit more sort of laterally,
yes,
and say something like, you know, what would it be like to be a non-smoker?
Yeah.
What would that actually mean? How would
absolutely
it feel?
What are the benefits from gain? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see what you're saying there. I think that's really interesting because the whole idea of giving something up always feels a bit like you've been a bit harsh on yourself, don't
exactly.
I? Like giving something up. Oh, I don't like giving things up.
Exactly.
Taking something on is far more positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a whole new way of life where you can breathe much easier. You know, your clothes won't smell. You know, various things.
Like
you're going to save so much money. You know, it's far more positive way of thinking, isn't it, than thinking of giving something up.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you can get into that sort of feeling place about anything really, it's amazing how much more likely you are to do what it is you actually... Because, let's face it, we all know what we ought to be doing.
Mm.
Or we know what we want to
do.
We just somehow don't do. The other thing that's interesting to think about is that your subconscious doesn't recognise a negative. If you tell somebody when they're going out, don't forget to bring the milk, what they hear is, forget to bring the milk.
Right.
And what they will do is forget to bring the milk.
Yeah.
If you talk to a child and you're always saying, don't do, don't do, don't do, they don't hear that. They hear whatever it is you've told them not to do.
Right, yes.
So again, that's another thing where if you're thinking in terms of what you would like to do in terms of for the coming year, if you can think, make it very positive, then it's going to have much more success than doing it. The other thing that I've been looking at, which was something that was written, as of course we get all of these things, it was written on New Year's Day, actually, in the Sunday Times.
Mm.
And they were talking there about learning new things. And by taking on new ideas and bringing new things into your life, then maybe you can sort of fill your life up with things so that the things that you're holding on to, you may be more ready to let go of.
Go off, absolutely. Because I suppose you always feel a gap, don't you? A sense of loss,
yeah,
giving anything up or
exactly,
changing your lifestyle way. But then if you've got something new and interesting to focus on, you're not going to notice in the same way, are you?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Mm. So that's another thing. And, of course, you know, it becomes then a virtuous circle, because if you learn something new, then you feel good about it,
yeah,
and you want to tell people about it. And so it starts yourself feeling better about yourself, because, let's face it, when you're talking about giving up stuff and stopping doing stuff, then there's a negative connotation to that.
Definitely.
There really is. So, again, it's all you know, what you focus on. And being more positive about it, I think, is one way to go. I'm not saying it works, but I think that it's a much more positive way of going about it. And certainly things like smoking, I think if you can really think about what it would be like to be somebody, and just imagine yourself just not being bothered by seeing a pack of cigarettes, of what it would be like at the end of a meal where you just, it's not something that you think about. Because think about the times when maybe smoking is really important to you. Think about what life would be like, how it would be if you didn't have a cigarette at that moment in time.
You know, starting off with that whole fitness video scenario of Beverly Callard and Debbie Rush and Nadia Sawala, and moving on to giving up any nasty habits, not giving up, but actually doing something positive. I feel as though Sheila's morphing into the equivalent of Darren Brown. I feel as though suddenly, just the thought was crossing my mind there. Look into my eyes. Wonderful on radio.
You know what?
And she's gone.
I've been hypnotised by Darren Brown.
Really?
Yes, I have. And so
that explains why you do the show on a weekly basis.
Yes, that's what he hypnotised me into doing. No, he's a very spooky guy. But, I don't know. I do think this power of positive thought, though, it does change. You know, I gave up smoking several years ago. And to do it, I read a book called Alan Carr's Easy Way to Give Up Smoking. And it's a sort of, it talks you into the positiveness, and you have to go through thinking about how it'll feel when you give up, being able to breathe in a different way, and it's sort of slightly, I would say, brainwashing to some extent, but it really worked. And and it was very much about forget that you're giving something up, you know. And it was completely the opposite of that, because it said, you know, you just go into it with a negative frame of mind, you've got to be positive about what you're doing. And I think it does make all the difference, really.
I remember one of my children, I won't say which, in case they're listening to this, one of my children used to have a habit of thumb-sucking when she went to sleep. And it was something really, really that she'd done years and years. And she was getting to about 11, 12, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was becoming a little something that she really wanted to change. So she had to stop doing it.
Yeah.
And we realized that she wasn't ever going to stop doing it, because she was so used to doing that with her hands as she went to sleep.
Mm.
So we started doing cat's cradle. You know,
right,
how you
yeah,
do one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just doing that gave her something else to do.
Yes.
And replacing it and learning to do that.
Yes. It is like that equivalent, isn't it, of giving up smoking, I suppose, you know, in a childhood form. It is having something to do with your hands, having something to take your mind off it. Because, I mean, I think so many habits you do, I mean, it's like people that overeat. It tends to be through boredom, through, you know, because they want something to just to fill a few minutes, really. And you think, oh, well, I'll just get a biscuit or, you know. I mean, it's often seems to be the way. So
We do anything to feel good.
Yeah.
You know, anything that we do, it's because we want to feel good. And if we can work out what we get out of whatever it is we're doing, and think of maybe another way of getting that feeling.
Yeah.
There's another thing that I've come across which has quite fascinated me. You know, they've proved that if people practice doing some sort of physical activity, they can get quite a large amount of the benefits that they actually get by doing it. They've done this with sportsmen and improved their performance by having them visualize doing something.
Right, yes.
Well, for eating, if people have emotional eating problems where they eat to feel better, to sit down when they feel an urge to eat and imagine eating it, and imagine that feeling, whatever the feeling, everybody will know what the feeling is. Imagine that feeling, and imagine, because it's not about the food, it's about how they're going to feel. They eat in those situations to feel better. So if you can imagine that feeling, and imagine how to get that feeling, and maybe even find something else to get that feeling, but that's another step forward. But just to imagine that feeling and realize that you don't have to eat to get it, then that can be very positive as well. I've seen some interesting work being done with that, and I should be following that.
That does sound fascinating.
I'm reminded of the Japanese proverb, into the house where joy lives, happiness will gladly come.
Yes.
Seek out joy. That's the important thing. Not necessarily joy night, but obviously other joys might be available.
Yeah.
Joy, as Sarah Chase waits.
You can use me in the interim until you find another joy. Oh, yes. I'm quite happy with that. Come round.
There we are.
I'll come into your house.
Yeah. Which would be an interesting sort of line of things, though. Next week, you'll actually be sharing joy with your son's PTA association.
Lovely.
Who knows what could happen after that. Would you like to ask Sheila those last two questions, please?
I would indeed. I've really enjoyed talking to you, Sheila. I think you've got some really fascinating ideas. Have you enjoyed talking to us this evening?
Indeed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So will you join us again in the near future?
I will indeed.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Alex.